it's a little hard to believe, but 2 weeks from tomorrow night is Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, today's Shir Klali will deal with what we'll soon see is a very common idea about Rosh Hashanah, a very well-known idea about Rosh Hashanah, and yet very, once we think about the idea, seems to be, make no sense, the logical, contradictory, and we'll try to resolve the problem. So let's begin. Take a look at source number one. The Mishnah Masechet Rosh Hashanah begins as follows. There are four times during the year that the world is judged. The Pesach alatfua. On Pesach the world is judged as to the wheat and to the grains that are going to grow during the year. Will they be plentiful or not? Batseret apeyot ha'ilan. On the holiday of Atzeret, which is Chazal's name for the holiday of Shavuos. No, not Shemini Atzeret. The holiday of Shavuos. Who judged apeyot ha'ilan, who are going to be judged. We're going to be judged by the fruits of the trees. V'Rosh Hashanah Kolboi Olam Kolboi Olam Omlid Lefanav Kivnei Morom Shenemar Hayotze Yachad Libom Amivino Kol Maaseim. On Rosh Hashanah, all those who are in this world ask in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal understood that Kivnei Morom, one by one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges each and every individual on Rosh Hashanah. U'bachag nidonin alamayim. And on the Chag, which holiday is known as Chag? Sukkot. On the holiday of Sukkot, we judge on water, that's Kilas Geshem, etc. Why was Rosh Hashanah chosen? Of all the days of the year, why was Rosh Hashanah, why was the first day of Tishrei chosen to judge mankind? Why? Anybody know? What? We say the day the world was created. Now what do you mean? You're right, but you have to be a little bit more specific. Yeah? Today? Okay. So the Chidushei Haram, we're not going to read the whole piece, in source number two, asks the question, Rosh Hashanah Kolboi Ha'olam Kolboi Ha'olam Ovin Lefanav Kivnei Marom Yesh Lishol Lama Adam Nidon B'Rosh Hashanah Yosem Yibishayim Yomim. Why was it judged this day as opposed to every other day? So he says that the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to create the world on which date? On Kaf Hei Elul. So there's Kaf Hei, Kaf Vav, Kaf Zayin, Kaf Chet, Kaf Tet. The fifth day of creation was Kaf Tet Elul. What's the calendar day after Kaf Tet Elul? Aleph Tishrei. That was the sixth day of creation. And what happened on the sixth day of creation? Adam and Chava were created. But Chazal understood that if you think your Fridays were busy, are busy days, you should have seen that very first Friday. Because on that very first Friday, not only were the Chayos and Behemos created, but Adam was created, and he names all the animals, and then Chava is created, and then they're sent to Gan Eden, and they're told about the Eitz Hadas, and they do the Chet, and they're thrown out, and kind of have a war for born that day. And in the process of the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges Adam. Adam and Chava are judged on that day. And what could have been their punishment? Could have been totally destroyed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is neither Sarachim and he doesn't destroy. and on the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Chava, and on the anniversary of the first judgment of mankind, every year HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges every human being in the world. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is chosen as the day of judgment. And now we get to the difficulty. Source number three. There's a famous saying, Amar Rav Kuspedai, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shloshes Dvarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. On the day of Rosh Hashanah, three books are opened in Shamayim. Echot Shel Rishoyim Gemurim, Ve'echot Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, Ve'echot Shel Beinoniyim. For Rishoyim, for Tzadikim, and for people in the middle. Tzadikim Gemurim Nechtovim V'Nechtomim La'alter L'Chayim. What does the word La'alter mean? La'alter means immediately. Tzadik and Gemurim are written and sealed immediately for life. Rishoyim Gemurim Nechtovim V'Nechtomim La'alter L'Misa. And Rishoyim Gemurim are immediately signed and sealed for death. Beinoniim tluyim va'omdim. Beinoniim, we'll come back to the word tluyim in a moment. Somewhat are held in abeyance. V'Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippur. Zachu nechtavim v'chayim, lo zachu nechtavim v'nisa. What happens to the Beinoniim, starting backwards for a moment? They're held in abeyance. And what do you wait to see? Zachu or lo zachu? Well, what's that going to depend on? It's just an avera. They get from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Because the prophet says, okay, let's see what happens. If they do tshuva, then the chayim. If they don't do tshuva, then the mother. And said, Chaim Shmuel explains, what does the term tluyim va'omdim mean? So the analogy is that somebody who's brought to the gallows and there's a noose around his neck and he's standing on a chair. And what happens? Either the chair can be kicked out from underneath him and he dies, or the noose can be removed from his neck. That's the Beinon. That's the way the Beinon is between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He does tshuva, the noose is removed. He doesn't do tshuva, and the Rahman of Islam, the chair is kicked out. But does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really have three books in Shamayim? You're shaking your head no. But it says that there are three books. But not literally. Right, if we take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch in source number 5, U'masha'amu sham shlosha svarim niftachim v'rosh hashana echad shal tzadikim gemurim echad shal rishon gemurim echad shal beinonim v'inyan psichat hasvarim ne'mar l'fi hadome al derech mashal. When it says book, what does it mean? It's a mashal, because that's the way we think. V'inyan ashkachato baruch hu aleihem. Ki'inyan sheyikansuz hadvarim ba'aznei hashom. So we borrow, that's the way we think, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't talk in those terms. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need books, and he doesn't necessarily write, and he doesn't necessarily seal. But the idea is that everything is recorded, and everything is there, and everything is decided. That's the idea of Svarim. Now this mamar, the statement of Rabbi Kuspedai, is a very well-known thing. And we always talk about Svarim, the Sefer, Chayim, Bracha, V'Shalom, Afarnas, Atal, we say, Davening, Tulim, Sefer, Meitshuva. And we talk about Chsov, L'Chayim, Tochum, Tochum, maybe that. We talk about writing, and about stealing, and about books. There's only one problem with Rav Kuspedai's statement. Only one little problem. It's not true. Now, why did I say that? So what does Rav Kook's Gemara say? What happens to the Tzaddikim Gemurim? That's what happens. They're written into the book of life. And what happens to the Rishon Gemurim? They're written into the book of death immediately. Now, after they're written for them. Tzaddikim don't die. And the Rishonim don't live. I just saw Adam suffering at the hands of Rishonim, who lived one year Rosh Hashanah after another Rosh Hashanah after another Rosh Hashanah. Who was he kidding? It'd be very nice if Tzaddikim all lived and Rishonim all died. But it just isn't so. That's not my question. What are we showing in the question? And if you take a look on page number 2, in verse number 8, the Ramban, the famous Ramban of the Parshan and Chumash, also has the collections of writings collected in the Sefer called Kitvei Ramban, and he has a drasha, a very long drasha on Rosh Hashanah. And in the middle of that long drasha, in source number 8, he says, V'yesh lish'ol heich pasak Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Kusbidai quotes Rabbi Yochanan, heich pasak Rabbi Yochanan psak adin agodol v'ha'omo kazeh. How could he be possibly paskin? Shekol razei olam tnuyin ba, that all the, so to speak, all the secrets of the world are dependent on. Tzadikim gemurim nechtavim nechtavim la'alter lechayim. That tzadikim gemurim are written down for life. V'chikol ha-tzadikim chayim v'chol ha-rishoyim meisim. All tzadikim live and all rishoyim die. V'lo olam v'chol ha-chemda shelol la-rishoyim hu. Unfortunately, who seems to be around all the time? The Rishayim. The Haksuvim Tzavchei Kinegda. Now I told you, don't blame me, blame the Ramban. The Ramban says, don't blame me, blame the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im are yelling about this all the time. And he quotes Pesukim, for instance, in Koheles, in source number 9. Hetakol ra'isi bimei heavily. I've seen everything, says Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles. Yesh tzadik oved b'tzidko v'yesh rasha marich b'ra'aso. There's a tzadik and he gets destroyed. And there's a rasha and he keeps living and living and living. Shlomo HaMelech says. In source number 10, again Shlomo HaMelech. Yesh hevel asher nasa al ha'aret asher yesh tzadikim asher magi aleim kemaisei ha'rishoyim v'yesh rishoyim asher magi aleim kemaisei ha'tzadikim. Achmad on the side, you think that Kadosh Baruch Hu got the names mixed up in the books. The tzadik suffers like the Russia deserves, and the Russia gets rewarded like the tzadik deserves. What's going on? In another year, Miyol, in source number 11, Tzadik ata Hashem ki yoriv eilecha ach mishpatim adaber otach madua derech rishayim saleicha. Why do the rishayim have so much success? Sholu kobol devog. Now the statement of Hashem, the Zohar, the name of Rabbi Yochanan is so nice and so wonderful, and the world would be such a wonderful place, but it simply isn't true. But he can suffer and die and show him how that slacha and live. What in the world is Rabbi Yochanan? And that's what we're going to try to figure out. How how do we properly understand Rabbi Yochanan and match it with reality? So the Rishonim have at least four different approaches to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. And part of it depends on the definition of tzaddik, on the definition of rasha. Part of it depends on the definition of chayim, the definition of mavet, and some other factors as well. So we're going to begin with the Tosfot HaRash, in source number 13. Rabbi Yochanan writes, says that a tzaddik gomor is written l'chai. And a rasha gomor is written l'mavet. So what's the tzaddik, and there's a beinoni. So how would you define a beinoni? A guy who is in between, more or less equal. So what's a tzaddik? What? Same here. So tzaddik is presumably somebody who has more mitzvot than averot. More doesn't necessarily mean quantity. Qualitatively, that's right. He has much more on the mitzvah side than the avera side. And what's the rasha? He has more on the avera side than the tzaddik side, than the mitzvah side. Okay. Now the tzaddik is written l'chayim. So, how do you think? What do you think chayim? I'll tell you what I thought chayim meant. Chayim meant that he's going to live. That's not what chayim means. So the Tosfot HaRash, what does chayim mean? We're not talking, says the Rosh, about Olam Hazeh. We're talking about Olam Hazeh. This guy is a tzaddik. And therefore, when he dies, what's going to happen? He's going to get chayim of Olam Hazeh. And this guy is a rasha. So when he dies, what's going to happen? He's going to get mavet of Olam Haba. What's mavet of Olam Haba? Geinu. That's what the statement means. That the tzaddik is being written for a life of chayim in Olam Haba, and the rasha is being written for a life of mavet in Olam Haba. Very nice. But the tzaddik in this rasha are 20 years old now. They're going to live to be 70, 80, 100, 20. What's going to happen Rosh Hashanah when they're 21? Are they going to be judged? Again, they're going to be judged about all of that. What's going to happen at Rosh Hashanah when they're 22? They're going to again be judged, again be judged. Isn't this a waste of time? When should HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge a person whether he's going to get chayim in Olam Haba or mavis in Olam Haba? They die. What use is there of judging him to Olam Haba now? The guy's going to live another 50 years. Everything can change. A Russia can do Shiva, a Tzaddik can become a Russia, everything can change. What do you gain by doing this? What's the judgment? Any suggestions?
Well, sometimes you try to alleviate your own action by punishing you a little bit responsible if it's already determined that you'll have death in a long time, and then start creating it.
Or possibly the reverse. Right? Rush is a tzaddik. You have a tzaddik, but no tzaddik is 100% a tzaddik. Everybody has a little bit of faith. So Kadosh Baruch Hu does favors for the tzaddikim. You're destined to get Olam Haba, but you're going to be missing out part of your Olam Haba because even the tzaddik did some avera. So what does Kadosh Baruch Hu do? What? He gives you a little bit of an onus, an olam haza, so that your olam haza will be 100%. Now, if a person didn't judge anybody until the day that they died, what would happen? So it began the day the tzaddik died, the Kodesh Baruch Hu judges him, and this guy has 16 trillion mitzvahs, and he has 15 averos. And what's going to happen? The Kodesh Baruch Hu must be giving full olam haba, but he can't. Why? Because he has some averos. So what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do every year? Take a look at the person. He says, this guy's destined for chayim of olam haba. But he's destined for chayim of olam haba, but I see that he's destined for. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do, make him a little bit of an onus, a little bit of suffering now, so that his olam haba will be perfect. And the Rasha, oh, he's gone to modest in olam haba, but never, not never. The Rasha did some mitzvah, but he's really such a bad Rasha. Such an evil Rasha, I have to reward him for his mitzvah, so what am I going to do? I give him a little bit of suffering olam haba. Or, alternatively, suggest addition to the Sirban Kapra in source number 14, one moment, says that sometimes the tzaddik is going to get tremendous siyata d'shmaya. The Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes gives siyata d'shmaya to a tzaddik, but how is the Kodesh Baruch Hu supposed to know that this guy is a tzaddik, he's going to get siyata d'shmaya? So he judges him now on Rosh Hashanah. He says, this guy is destined to be, at this day, I don't know what's going to be next year, but right now he's destined to go straight to Olam Haba, and it's big high. He deserves to get the Yad of Ishmael. And this Rosh Hashanah deserves not to have the Yad of Ishmael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges everybody on Rosh Hashanah, whether they're at this point in time destined for Olam Haba good or Gehenna bad, and accordingly deals with him in Olam Haba. So he has to judge him for the future, but he has to know now in order how he's going to deal with this guy from this Rosh Hashanah to next Rosh Hashanah. That's the way the Rosh understands. Good question, yes. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Because, as something that I pointed out in my Zvartara on Shabbos, Eilu Dvarim Sha'adam Ochel Peirol Seyim Ba'olam Hazeh Ba'akar Kayemet Lo'olam Haba. There are mitzvot that a person actually benefits from the fruit of those mitzvot in this world, and nothing is taken away from the main portion of the reward in the world to come. So there are mitzvot that a person does and he gets rewarded in both worlds. Sometimes, though, we're getting rewarded because we're going to get, you know, to clean the slate for a Rasha. Hopefully we're not beshaim. Yes?
That means that death in the ultimate punishment,
in my death of Olam Hazeh is not the ultimate punishment.
Yeah.
That's correct. Very much a philosophical discussion, but if you want to take a look at Chumash Bereishit, Parshat Bereishit, about Chanoch, who is this person Chanoch, who is Noach's great-grandfather, and Vayela Chanoch et Elokim, Veinenu ki lakach et Elokim, Chanoch just died, or just disappears. It doesn't say that he died. And Kadosh Baruch Hu took him away. So there are different reflections, there are different things about Chanoch. Some say that he was a big tzaddik, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that for some reason in the future he was going to go off the derech of some sort. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore took his life away at a young age, so young relative to everything else, to save him. So that could be, some questions to play differently. We don't know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in detail. Sometimes the person's death may be for his benefit at a certain point in time. Sometimes it may be a bit of a punishment. Different people, different situations. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not really sure this makes sense, but I think it was more like a moment of time that,
Yesh kona alamo b'shachas, the Gemara said. A person who does tshuva, at the last moment, in the last moment of his life, can be zocha l'olam haba.
Is that like a permanent company in the heaven that decides you don't have everything on the summer?
Hashem decides every Rosh Hashanah where the guy is headed at this point in time. But ultimately, right, but ultimately, the final decision is made only when a person dies. Okay, the Ramban has a totally different approach. He redefines, but the Ramban on page 3, both in source 15 and 16, says as follows. Source 15, Kol HaZoche Bidino Nikra Tzadik Gamur. The Kol HaMechuyev Bidino Nikra Rasha Gamur. The Torah sometimes uses the term tzadik not to describe a righteous person, somebody who has righteous midos, who behaves properly, etc. In a rush, is somebody who is an evil person. But a tzaddik is somebody who finishes the judgment, who was judged and came out winning. And the rasha is the person who is judged and to a certain extent comes out losing the case. And therefore he says as follows. The tzaddik gamur is the person who ends up winning, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he's going to live for the next year. That doesn't mean that he's an excellent person, that he's a righteous person, that he does mitzvot, etc. It just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision was that he's going to live for the next year. And the Rasha, that's a Rasha. A Rasha is somebody who loses the judgment. He's not going to live out the year. He's going to die this year. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. He could be what we would call a big tzaddik. But in this judgment, he comes out on the losing side. When it says that a tzaddik is nichtav la'alta l'chayim, it means the guy who wins the judgment, so he's going to be written for life. And when it says the Rasha is written for love, it means the guy who loses the case is going to be written for death. Now this could apply to the ultimate punishment of life or death, or it can apply to other things as well. To Osher, to Kavod, to wealth, to respect, to children, to health, etc. But because often we decide this person is going to have, he's going to be sick this year. So that would be called, in Rabbi Yochanan's term, a Rasha written for Mavet. Meaning, a person who loses came out the bad side of the case, and he's going to suffer. And this person's going to be very healthy this year. So that, he's called a tzaddik, because he wins the case for health. But it doesn't mean that he's going to be in. It just means that he wins the case for losing. And that's the way the Ramban understands it. The tzaddik gomor is written for chayim. It means the guy who wins the case is going to have a good year. And the rasha gomor is written for modest. Means the guy who loses the case is not going to have such a good year. But it's not telling us whether the person is a good person or a bad person. It's just telling us whether he wins the case or loses the case. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a bad person win the case and a good person lose the case? That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, which we don't understand. But that's the way the Ramban understands Rabbi Yochanan, yes. So what do Beinoni? A Beinoni is somebody whose status is one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't decide, but his status is one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could go either way. And therefore, depending on his behavior over the next 10 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is either going to go like this or go like that. Yes.
According to the Ramban, does that mean that Tshuva is not an essential part of getting Rosh Hashanah and winning the spirit? We don't know, what is the date on then?
Again, if we go back to what I alluded to earlier, and I spoke very briefly about on Shabbat, right, there are, in many ways, Chazal says, Chazahai al-Maleka, the ultimate reward and punishments are not in this world. A person does tshuva or doesn't do tshuva. The person who does tshuva, let's say, even if the tshuva is 100% accepted, can't expect that he's going to have the best year ever. Because Noach may accept his tshuva and say, this person is going to go to Olam Haba. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to have a great year. And a person may not do tshuva at all, and it doesn't mean he's going to have a bad year. His Olam Haba is certainly affected by tshuva. Why Olam Haba? You know, Chazal tell us that was ultimately the question that bothered Moshe Rabbeinu. The one thing that he couldn't figure out is why Tzadik v'Ra'lo v'Rashi v'Tosla. We don't understand. That's beyond, to a certain extent, human comprehension. I think differently than you. You don't understand Tzadik v'Ra'lo? That's right, you can't. Because you're human and I'm not. I'm divine. So we don't understand why it would be that way. But that tshuva will affect, it'll definitely make a world of a difference, pardon the expression, in this chayim of Olam Haba. But it may or may not affect his Olam Haba. Doing what? You avoid the Tishrei rush if you do tshuva during the year. I mean, there are two answers. Maybe more than two answers. Number one, pardon me for being somewhat morbid, but who can be so sure that they're going to be around next Rosh Hashanah time? Don't always know. I mean, Akiva's Rabbi Eliezer tells us how easy it is. Such a guy says, do tshuva the day before you die. So they said to him, but Rabbi, how is the person supposed to know when they're going to die? He said, that's right. That's why you have to do tshuva every day. If you know, if we know, then yeah, we could. That's one. Second, the longer a person waits to do tshuva, the harder it is. We're human beings. We get very stuck in our ways, very set in our ways. And the longer we say, I'll do tshuva. I'll do tshuva, you must speak in the other life with tshuva. I'll never end up doing tshuva. You say, I have time. So when Rosh Hashanah comes along, you know what you'll say? I have time till this Rosh Hashanah, I have time till next Rosh Hashanah. Person. However, if we get close to Rosh Hashanah, it should be ma'orer in us the need to do tshuva. So, yeah, that will we prepare, we start thinking, we start moving in that direction. We got to start moving. We shouldn't wait. Okay, yes. That's what we don't understand. But it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this person is going to have a good year, a lot of healthy year, a lot of wealthy, a lot of cover, a lot of life, a lot of this. We call him a tzaddik, and he's written down. Then the other guy is going to have a horrible year from our perspective. He's going to die, he's going to be sick, he's going to be impoverished, he's going to be this. He's going to be written down the bottom. Not because this guy is good and this guy is bad, but just because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. So we call him the tzaddik and him the rush. Okay, let me just continue a little bit, maybe have questions. So mine will be off a little bit. Derive it in small letters. It's not a long piece. In source 17, derive it as another idea. It's a very interesting idea. I'm not so sure if it's a comforting idea or a scary idea. I haven't figured it out. Derive it works on the following premise. When a person is born, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, let's take a look at source 18. So, Zetanya, Mispar Yamecha Amalei, Elu Shnei Doros. These are the years of the generations. And explains Rashi, right below it, in source 18. Shanim Sheposkim La'adam Bishas Leidasa. when a person is born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines what? How long he's going to live. Determined from birth. And then back to the Gemara in Source 18. Zacha mashlimim lo, lo zacha pochsim lo, divrei Rabbi Akiva. If he behaves properly, he'll live that entire amount of time, whatever it is. And if he's not zocha, years are deducted. The Chachamim omim zacha mosifim lo, lo zacha pochsim lo. Chachamim say that not only can you lose out years, but what can you do? Can even gain. That's what the Gemara says. So comes along the rising, and he says that what does it mean that tzaddikim are written for chayim? It means that the person was a tzaddik. It's all we call a tzaddik. But the tzaddik, and originally it was determined the person was going to live 73 years, so this year he was a tzaddik. He's 42. He was a tzaddik this year. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's on track. He's on track towards the full 73. But if this guy was a Rasha and originally been determined that he would live 73 years, and he was a Rasha this year at the age of 42, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He's off track, and therefore, no, I'm going to cross out 73, the guy's only going to live to 68. I know, I'm picking up numbers. And next year what will happen? Well, we'll take a look. Is he on track? Is he off track? Do we keep the same amount we add? Do we subtract? That's what's happening every year. So when it says the tzaddik is written, l'chayim, it means if he's really a tzaddik, he's really good, he's going to be written to get everything that he's supposed to do. And if he's a Rasha, so that means he's going to lose out. For the week. That's the way the Rabbi understands it. So I don't know, it's like, I guess it's comforting, scary. It's like when a person's born, already been determined a Shamayim. Make sense? How long the person's supposed to live? And that's before the person does a single mitzvah and aveira in their life. And from that, the person can either lose according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Chacham, and can either lose again. Yeah. But what do you mean by early? Who's to say that that's early? There's a famous measures that Adam HaRishon was shown the same for all future generations. And he saw a very, very holy neshama that was destined to live only a few hours. That was the neshama of David HaMelech. And Adam HaRishon donated 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. That's why Adam HaRishon lived to the age of 39,000. That's why David HaMelech lived to the age of 70. Now, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this means. But it's telling us that before David HaMelech did a single thing, there was a holy neshama that for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said three hours. Okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to live 3 hours. And because of Adam HaRishon, he gave him an extra 70 years. So when you say, when a tzaddik, there's a big tzaddik, he dies at the age of 42, for argument's sake. So what do you mean that he died early? Maybe when his neshama was born, his neshama was created, it was determined he was going to be 42. 42 years, that's the amount of time. And he was a big tzaddik, he got all 42 years. Or, according to the Chachamim, maybe he was supposed to live only to the age of 22. But he was such a big tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu added on 20 more years to his life. Okay, questions? Yeah.
So, you can say that maybe, because they gave an extra year to the but still, you can't say that something like a full life.
So there are people who live to the age of 85 and they don't live a full life, and the people who live to the age of 42 and they accomplish lifetime in a short amount of time. People talk about there are two things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants. He grants Arichus Yamim and Arichus Shanim. Arichus Shanim means that he lives a long period of time. When you take a look at the calendar, it's a long period of time. Then there are people who are Zochet Arichus Yamim. You know what Arichus Yamim means? They may not have lived many years, but boy, did they live many days. Each day they use amazingly. Gedolei Olam, who died at a very young age, the Ramah died at a young age, I think he was 30-something, and the Rabbala Ramah died at a great Gedolei who died at a young age. And they accomplished in this small amount of time what people don't accomplish in lifetimes twice, three, four, five times as much. So they didn't live, did they not live a full life? Depends what your definition of full. For those of us who knew that, who know that, and we're left behind, it's always sad, it's always hard. But their accomplishments, what they've done, is unbelievable. This is the Arichus Yamim and Arichus Shanim. Okay, yes. The general answer to your approach is you learn Tanakh very well. That's what the Tanakh Chazal did. And the Rishonim and the Achronim learn Tanakh and Chazal very well. And then, based on what the Pesukim say, the Nevi'im say, what the Chabad Chazal say, they determine their approach. And they quote sources for these things. We don't have time to go through in each and every source. But you read the Ramban, there's a tremendous amount that he'll quote, and that's how he determines what he says. Plus, they use logic. Okay, finally, maybe the simplest answer is the Sefer Achinuch. Now, if you take a look at Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't say, Tzadikim are written down for Chayim, and Rishonim are written down for Mavet. What does he say? Take a look back for a minute, yeah? What did he say? He doesn't know about Tzadikim. What are you talking about? Tzadikim Gemurim and Rishon Gemurim. So who are Tzadikim Gemurim?
People
who are complete. 100% Tzadik. And who are Rishon Gemurim? 100% Rasha. Says the same Achida. A guy is a tzaddik. He doesn't have a single aveira to his name. What happens? He gets healed. He'll be over. He'll be about to heal. Guaranteed. And the Rasha, who doesn't have a single mitzvah to his name, not a single thing. So what will happen to him? He'll die. And everybody else is in what category? Beinoni. So now you have no problem. If a tzaddik dies, what do we say? He was a tzaddik. He was a 98% tzaddik, a 99% tzaddik, a 99.99% tzaddik. But, no one's perfect, so he wasn't. And if he's a Russian, he lives, what do we say? He was a Russian. He was a 98% Russian, 99% Russian, 99.9% Russian, but he must have done one good deed in his life so that he won't be written down the mothers. That fits in very nicely, but that's the only problem with this. The whole world is a Beinoni. Like, who does this apply to? Like, the whole world is in the Beinoni category. But that's if you see the Sefer Achinuch, and he writes in Source 19, Tzadikim Gemurim Nechtavim Nechtavim Alta Lechayim Feirish Mori Yishmirei Ukel Tzadik Gomor Bekan Shekulo Zakai Vechen Rosh Gomor Bekan Shekulo Chayim. Okay. So these are the four different approaches that we have. You have the approach of the Rosh, Pasuk Harash, who talks about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to determine whether he's going to get Chayim or Mavet in Olam Haba and then appropriately treat him in Olam Hazeh. You have the Ramban that the Tzadik in the Rosh just means whether he wins the case or loses the case, not whether he's good or bad. You have the writer who says it's talking about whether he's going to be on track to continue and get the number of years that was predetermined from when he was born, or he's going to start losing some of those years. And you have the Sefer Achinuch who says, well, a Tzadik Gomer gets life for sure, and a Rosh Gomer gets death right away, but everybody else in the world is Beinoni. One end off with one last what seems to be almost a trivial comment, but is very far from it. Take a look at source number 20. The Rama writes, "The Noagim Shekol Echad Omer LeChaveiro Lishana Tovati Kasev." The Rama is talking about Leil Rosh Hashanah, and he says the custom is that everyone wishes his friend Lishana Tova Tikasev. Sound familiar? Comes along the Magen Avraham in source 21, and he writes one more word. You wish somebody Lashana Tova Tikase Vitechate. You should be written and sealed. V'chei Nachal Sheyachziku Litzadik Shenechtam La'alter L'chayim. The original statement we had from Rabbi Yochanan was that a tzaddik on Rosh Hashanah is not only signed or written into Chayim, but sealed. So says the Magen Avraham, it's Rosh Hashanah, I want to wish you Lashana Tova Tikasev and Tikasev. Why? Because I want you to be considered a tzaddik gomer. You shouldn't be a benoni. You should be a tzaddik gomer. Immediately, right away, you should be written. Sounds nice. So why did the Rav Moshe say Lashana Tova Tikasev? Doesn't the Chasima also take place on Rosh Hashanah? If you go back to first number 3, it says Amar Rav Kutzvadai, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shlosh Yisrael, Mitzach, Rosh Hashanah, Echad Shal Rishon, Zimur, Echad Shal Tzadikim, Tzadikim Gemur, Nechtavim, Nechtavim, La'alter. What did I tell you the word La'alter means? Right away, the Chayim. This is everybody in there. Ksiva the Chasima Tov. That's what we all say. Ksiva the Chayim. Why do we just say? Why do we say the Chayim? But let's add a little bit to the question. Minag Ashkenaz, there's a period in the middle of Musaf, of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that many argue is the most moving period of the whole field. The period that begins in the Sanat Okas. And in the second or the third paragraph, depending on how your master divides it, the paragraph begins, Berosh Hashanah Ikasevun, V'yom Tzom Kippur Eichasein. The Ketuva is on Rosh Hashanah and the Chasima is on Yom Kippur. But we just saw in the Gemara that the Tzadikim Gemurim and Rishon Gemurim, everything is on Rosh Hashanah. Don't do the debate on it that are connecting with it. That seems to support a little bit the Ramah. And there's another support. Take a look at source 23. It sounds very familiar, almost like source number 1. But source number 1 was the Mishnah, and this is a Braisa. The Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, Ba'aber Prakim Olam Nidon. The Pesach HaLatvua, Ba'atzeres HaPeo Se'ilon, Bechad Nidon HaLamayim, Va'adam Nidon, Berosh HaShanah, Ugzardin Shalom Nechtam B'Yom HaKippurim. Rosh Hashanah you only writ, it's not sealed until Yom Kippur. But source number 3 said everything happens on Rosh Hashanah. Except for the Beinoni, everybody is sealed on Rosh Hashanah. So what's going on? So the Gaon of Vilna says, the two judgments to take place. There's a judgment of what your Olam Haba is going to be, at least at this point in time, with the judgment of what the Olam Hazeh is. In terms of your Olam Hazeh, it all takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Kadosh Baruch Hu determines how you've been up until now and whether you're destined this way or that way, or this way or that way. That's already determined all on Rosh Hashanah. It's signed and it's sealed. But now, how's your Olam Hazeh going to be? What kind of Olam Hazeh going to be? And that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Brice in source number 23. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes down on Rosh Hashanah, but it's not sealed. That isn't taking place until Yom Kippur. For that, the person has 10 days. Not so much to affect their Olam Haba, precisely because that, then, the ultimate judgment of the Olam Haba takes place after 120 years. The question is which track you're on. But the very specifics of Olam Hazeh start on Rosh Hashanah, but you have 10 days until it's sealed on Yom Kippur. And that's why, says the Vilna Gaon, the Ramah says, on Rosh Hashanah we get rich and tell them the Shana Kavati Kasim. Because we're talking about Olam Hazeh. It's happening now, but it won't be sealed till Yom Kippur. You wish Kippur with Ma'afatim and Tov on Yom Kippur. So even though many, many people have the minhag, the more common minhag is like the Magen Avraham, to wish each other the Shana Tov and Tikas of the Seikasei, the Rosh Hashanah, that's a very, very common minhag. Nevertheless, we should keep in mind that the 10 days we have of Aseret Yemei Tshuva can literally make a world of difference to what kind of year we're going to have. And as we said earlier, it's never too early to start.